I'd like us to go on something of a journey together tonight. From the upper room where Jesus met with his disciples to the agony of the garden in Gethsemane. It's not a journey that we need to travel along physically together, but it's good if we can just recount some of those events of that extraordinary spectacle. The upper room is a special place. It's a place where we're all united and where we're made one. But the night of the Last Supper, or what we call today Maundy Thursday, didn't end like that. As Judas, earlier during the supper, after receiving the morsel of bread, immediately went out, and it was night. So Jesus and the rest of his disciples leave the upper room together, and they enter the night. And we begin to see the turn toward the darkness that comes in this second half of Holy Week. We've gone from the rejoicing on Palm Sunday to the establishment of the community of Christ in union at the table. And now we journey into the night, to abandonment, utter loneliness, fear, betrayal, suffering, and death. Here we begin to celebrate and recall not only our union, but our dispersion, our breaking apart or our dissolution. All the disciples deserted Jesus and fled into the night. We as Christians are called into unity as one body in the Last Supper, in the washing of feet. But this comes through injury, brokenness, and division, through rejection and fleeing, regret and even betrayal. And by the end of tonight, everything comes to an end. It seems after now that there's no hope, no plan, no victory, only doom and despair. And the disciples flee. Everyone abandons Jesus. Everyone scatters. In Holy Week, we seek to journey along with Jesus through the last week of his life. And on Maundy Thursday, we sit in the lonely emptiness of the Garden of Gethsemane, the shame of his trial on Good Friday with the brokenness of the cross, the despair of the grave. And we have to go on this journey in order to reach the joy of Easter morning. And at the end of the liturgy of Maundy Thursday, we enact this vividly. Tonight we're going to disperse from outside the church. After the Eucharist, where we celebrate bread that was consecrated, we then remember in the garden to watch and pray with Jesus as he had asked his disciples to do in Gethsemane. It's a very moving time. And perhaps we can continue to identify with the disciples as they become deserters in their fear. We could wait and watch and pray, but only for a while. Maybe we identify closely at times with Judas as well, betraying with the sweet tenderness of a kiss or going through a sense of desolation. Wherever we find ourselves in the story of tonight, in the end, we all disperse. We run out into the night, and what was near is driven to enormous distance. Perhaps we can identify with the deep loneliness and the isolation of Jesus in the garden. All the Gospels speak of his time in the garden leading to his betrayal and arrest. Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew's gospel that his soul is sorrowful even unto death. He asks his disciples to remain and to keep awake with him. He prays that if possible, the cup of suffering that he was about to drink were to be taken from him. But he ends all of his prayers by asking that God's will is done. The disciples, as we know, of course, don't stay awake. And they, in turn, are awoken by Jesus to meet the band of soldiers who are coming, led by Judas, to take him away. Mark's account is essentially the same as Matthew's. Luke's account, as we have it, mentions an angel coming to stay with Jesus as his sweat falls like great drops of blood to the ground. John's gospel mentions the soldiers falling down to the ground at the power of Jesus' words, "I am he," when they ask for Jesus. In every account, Jesus is always isolated from the others. He journeys ahead of them into the garden. The intensity of his prayer and his isolation on that journey are emphasized. The disciples can only fall short on that journey and fall asleep. And eventually their journey ends through scattering and desertion. But before them, Jesus is active on that journey in his isolation. He goes a bit further into the garden by himself to pray intentionally. And he surrenders his desire and his will to the Father using the words, "Not my will, but yours be done." And in a way that parallels his last agonizing words on the journey to the cross, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." As he again actively gives up his life and breathes his last, Jesus actively lives out the process that brings us on the journey to unity, hope, and salvation. And it's a journey through darkness, isolation, loneliness, and despair. But the point of despair is not the end, because the hope of salvation has already been gifted to the disciples, and already it's granted to us. The scattering and desertion and the agony of Gethsemane can't undo the unity of the upper room. Instead, it shows us something remarkable about the glorious hope that we all have in Jesus. Already in the upper room, his resurrection life is present. Easter is made present already in the mystery of the Last Supper, as Christ's gift to the disciples in mystery in the sacrament of bread and wine become a foretaste of his death and in the hope of resurrection. His presence to us is on offer. It's made real in the mundane and the ordinary, simple bread and wine. In a meal together with friends, Christ's presence is made real to us and is with us as the ordinary and the mundane sustenance of life is broken. Jesus is present. He journeys and shows up at the table. He journeys and shows up at the body's brokenness. He journeys and shows up in that God-forsaken desert of a garden. And ultimately, he journeys towards the suffering of the cross and the darkness of the grave. And that presence is not one that simply shows up in the midst of the empty and the dark places of life. Jesus' presence is one that refuses to leave us there, but instead takes us by the hand and allows us to continue on that journey. One that moves us all through the brokenness, the scattering, the desertion, the isolation and fear, so that we can journey towards the light and the hope of the new life of Easter. At times, we have to pause on the journey and just stay a while in the garden. Sometimes, maybe we even feel as though we're in times that feel like the grave. But all along that journey, knowing that Jesus, our salvation, was there too, meets us there now to raise us to glory in the new and resurrection life. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.